Does that work?
You have to click that, yeah.
There you go.
Oh God, I only drank like a quarter of my bottle, and I'm already feeling pretty much like tipsy. And
no, you're not tipsy. You're only stoked.
Stoked.
So, does everyone have their booze at the ready?
Yes.
Oh yes, I do.
Good. I'm glad we've come prepared with our adult beverages.
Wonderful.
You act like I never have my booze with me, like just on hand.
Or opened.
All you do is have coffee.
Or under the shower.
Coffee with Kahlua, thank you very much.
So you're drinking Kahlua today again.
So you're drinking a
not
actually. And a downer.
I just have regular coffee, awesome. But I have beer with me. So I'm going to chase my morning coffee with beer. I'll let you know how that goes.
Actually, if you go, I don't know if you're from Great Britain, are you?
Me?
Yeah.
No,
wait,
America.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry about that. No, you probably know the Stone Brew. We got it here in Germany too. They come from California and they're pretty awesome.
Oh,
and
yes.
They have... It's just around the corner from me. Actually, I just have to hop in the car and go for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and then we are there. But they have a coffee stout, and it's pretty awesome, too. You would love that.
I've had Stone Brewings. I've also had Sam Adams' coffee stout, and that was actually pretty good. Do you guys get Sam Adams over there?
I don't know. I'd actually have to ask a friend.
Or
Fleeks knows that better because he's probably around the friend right now.
No,
he
has
every beer.
I don't think we have that here.
All right.
Coffee infused alcohol has always been fascinating to me because it literally involves mixing in what would normally be an upper with a downer, and somehow it just tastes amazing.
It's the liquid version of that. No, that's just it. I hate stouts, and like I actually enjoy the Sam Adams one. So. I don't know if that's a statement to Sam Adams or just a statement to my taste in stouts.
I love stouts. They have a beer to me has to be as thick and as dark. It needs to stain my teeth, and I need to be able to cut it with a knife. That's a beer for me.
Same here. Absolutely.
That's how I describe my coffee.
Whereas my coffee has to be light and frou-frou-y with lots of sugar and cream.
Oh, that sounds good too.
Yes.
One triple venti mocha frappuccino with no whipped cream. Thank you.
Actually,
what about whipped cream?
Actually, since we are already on it, what do you guys and gals drink tonight?
I'm having a chocolate oatmeal stout, also by the courtesy of the Stone Brewery.
Okay, I'm going to look up the label of that one because I feel like I've had that too.
Probably did.
I have the Noctus 100 by the core. Listen good. listen to it. Riegele Biermanufaktur. And it's actually called.
Okay, that one
like,
translated just fine. Was that part necessary in the title? Is that part of the title? Or are you just adding
it's
not, that?
It's the name of the brewery.
Yeah, it's the name of the brewery.
Beer manufacturer.
We can figure that much out, I swear. Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, you
had
have to. You have to pronounce
brewing.
It more German. You have to pronounce it more German, Sputtel. You have to, Fleeks, you have to say, Regular Beer Manufaktur.
Yeah.
Now,
Regular Beer.
There's a company that takes their alcohol seriously.
And this beer actually has a subtitle, Schwarzes Geheimnis. Or let me say it like that, Schwarzes Geheimnis.
Nice.
So of the Germans I've met, Fleeks has like the most calm German voice ever. Like every other German I know is passively like angry in voice. Like they'll have like the whole like Schwein! Alto, no more. That kind of like they'll have the tone of the voice, but like even when they're just talking normal, but Fleeks is like just calm and mellow, and he's like always happy, and I don't understand the difference between him and the rest of the Germans I've met.
That's so true.
Well, if I may intervene, it's he probably isn't a proper German. He's a Bavarian.
Oh.
Yeah, the Germans I know. The German clients I know, because I do IT support, they the only way you could tell they were trying to crack a joke was they would be talking to you and it sounded very angry, and then they would suddenly laugh out of nowhere after the joke they just told. And it's like, oh, okay. That's supposed to be a joke?
And then you just kind of laugh with them because you're scared and you don't want them to hurt you. No, but like even skiing earlier this year, I was on the slopes and I was like sitting next to a very, very like nice German man, like very well dressed to go skiing too. And like he was just talking to me, he's like these mountains, they are so beautiful. Like he was like spouting it out as loud as he could. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, I felt small and timid in stature next to him.
Yeah, when I was going to national parks with my family, we had this German couple that kept following us on their Harley Davidsons, and they took Harley Davidson. They took the whole motorcycle culture so seriously because they had every piece of gear you could get, all the brand name, the hat, the leather jacket, and I was like, "Yes, these motorcycles, they are great. This is wonderful." Everywhere we went, it was the same line over and over again.
It's wunderbar.
Well, the weirdest, most bizarre thing that actually happened to me was in Washington, D.C. when I went to, what is it, museum called where you can watch airplanes?
Aviation Museum?
Whoa. Yeah, the Aviation Museum. It was pretty awesome, pretty big, and there was a World War II Hammerschmidt. And I stood in front of it, and I was stoked about the, I was baffled about the size of it, because it just looked like a boulder with tiny wings, and I didn't really figure out how they were able to fly with the thing. And well, I looked at it, and then a couple of people came by and they looked at it as well, and then I turned around and there were four blonde people. They all looked the same. They were like pretty blonde, almost like washed blonde, their hair dyed blonde. Oh, and wow. They suddenly started talking. Oh, yeah, das ist ein Hammerschmidt. Oh, yeah, this is so good.
Oh, my God.
I think I walked backwards. what a magnificent sight. There. They didn't know I was German, and I didn't say anything. I was just so baffled by the entire scenery.
Let me ask, this is a question for both you and Fleeks. Are all Germans, or just about all Germans, like fearless? Because going back to my story about the Germans that were going to all the national parks with my family, seemingly following us on their motorcycles, the highlight for my trip was we were at the Grand Canyon, and they were like, wow, this is beautiful. And they got up and said, I must get closer. Look, and they climb over the safety rail, walk to the edge of the cliff, and look straight down, admiring the cliff.
They wanted to see the cliffside that nobody else looks at.
And even the park ranger's like, I'm not going over this thing. You guys are crazy.
Well, I can somewhat comprehend. I would probably feel like that as well, but I like to stick to the law in whichever country I go, and I don't know if climbing over the fence would be considered, you know, legal anymore. And I don't want to be caught by a ranger telling me off later.
Well, that's really just it. When you're visiting America, like, that's the nice thing about, like, being non-American in America is, like, that's the worst that's going to happen to you. Like, you can climb over those fences and, like, look right over the edge, and you could probably, like, even throw rocks off of the Grand Canyon itself. And a park ranger will take you aside and be like, don't do that, meh, kind of thing. But, like, that's the worst that's going to happen. Meanwhile, if an American were to do the same thing, oh, no, we get, like, thrown in jail for, like, a week.
Oh, no.
But, like, they don't want to deal with, like, the embassy. They don't want to deal with, like, you know, the fact that you're traveling. So you just, you get away with everything. Just have fun. The country is your playground. Be free.
That explains to me why I have a pretty big belt, and I got a couple of leather bags attached to it, mm-hmm. which is pretty convenient when you walk around in a big city. And I remember we went to through New York to a different museum, and they have these guard rails where you're getting checked through before you are allowed to enter.
Right.
And there was a policeman, and he winked at me and said, "You look like a terrorist." And I winked back, and I made, "Yeah."
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And my American friends were like, "No, no, 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 no." But he let me through, nothing.
Oh, God. You see, Americans don't so much have a fear of terrorists, like, as it were. We're more afraid of the actual TSA people, because, like, if we so much as joke like that, they're like, "No, we're going to strip you and probe you and stick this up places that's not comfortable."
Like what happened when they tried to search my Bird Life microphone a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he had to get a new microphone. It became a rectal examination tool.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I've been to the United States pretty often now, and I can say only good things about it. I really like the people there, and I really guess that all the people saying really bad stuff about the United States or the people there, they probably have never been there and just spout out some theories that they gotten from the internet or from somebody who was disappointed. I don't know really where these come from. But I've only seen really friendly people, and I don't know, if you go through New York, for example, a really big city, and there are so many people that when you pass one, you cannot, you know, there's a chance that you see them again in, I don't know, 100 years or something. And they were greeting you. They're really kind and open-minded.
Right. And we really are as a people, and generally speaking, and one of the things that kind of build upon what Kor said, how just tourists, especially people we like Germans, can get away with anything, is we had a German guy come through Northwest Indiana from Chicago going to New York City, and he was driving, I think, an Audi, and he was 3 o'clock in the morning on the expressway, and he's doing 150 something miles an hour. He had that car completely opened up as fast as it can go. The cop that went to chase him, clocked him on the radar, went to chase him, literally spilled his coffee trying to go and chase this guy because he was so shocked. But the minute the German saw the police lights, he immediately pulled over and stopped. And the officer went up to him and said, "Why in the world were you going so fast?" He said, "Oh, I thought I was back in Germany and on the Autobahn. I forgot."
Oh, bullshit. But yes, you get away with that.
No speed limit. Woohoo!
So he had to go to court, but the judge ended up just giving him a speeding ticket when he heard that story.
Pretty much.
We'd go to jail.
So Alector seems to believe that, you know, most of America is, like, you know, in good condition and we're friendly. So what we have to do is we have to keep her away from Florida and the South. Let's never let her go near the South. Texas is okay, but that's about, like, if you go inland, like, to the cities of Texas, that's about your Southern exposure. Stay away from the rest of it.
I would actually love to go to, I don't know, I would actually love to go to Arkansas at some point. Because everybody turns silent.
Hey, it's corn. That's silent. All that's there is corn and Southerners.
Florida's God's waiting room. You don't need to go there. Just
keep going. One of my best friends is a Southerner, so I'm getting along with him pretty well.
Okay. Are they a furry? Southern. Because if they're a Southerner furry, that usually means they're a little more open-minded.
Yeah. So, but it would be interesting to check out the place.
In all honesty, every part of the U.S. has its own benefits and unique culture, which is awesome. Go ahead, Felix.
Well, after watching one episode of Top Gear, probably a bit more wary about going to Alabama.
Oh, God, that episode!
Oh, my God.
Hillary sucks. They'll get you shot down south.
By the way.
Hillary for president and NASCAR sucks.
What the hell? Yeah, it's so true. By the way, if I may interrupt, Storm and Kor did not tell us what kind of beer they have tonight. And...
Oh, that's true.
That's very true. This week, I've decided to try something insane, and I have Ting's Gato beer imported from China.
Oh, Sing Sao.
Ting Sao, I know that. I tried it.
Yeah, I know that too. It's nice.
That was one of the first beers that I ever professionally reviewed.
Oh,
wow. Sing Sao.
Do you like it?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
It tasted like a Hefeweizen. It tasted like your typical, like, Hefeweizen, even though it's not. It tasted like a Heineken to me. And that was my professional review, was it's basically Chinese
that's
Heineken.
That's pretty close, actually. That's pretty close. I want to say the same. Like, it's a bit like Heineken, and it's like refreshing, and it's like a beer you drink to... You probably can drink to, like, rehydrate yourself, probably.
It's refreshing, yeah.
In Indiana, they market this as being a premium imported beer. So, like, something premium from China. I'm curious.
Just means it's premium to China.
So, sorry, premium China. Underneath it.
But so, premium. Alec, have you tried it, too?
I have, yeah.
Everybody knows.
Hmm? Yeah, we live in Berlin, and we are quite exposed to the beer culture, I would say, from all the countries that...
I'm so jealous.
Just come in here.
One reason why I want to move here.
I like it alongside with a salty meal, because it gives me the sweet freshness that I would like to have after eating something salty.
Oh, yeah.
And savory.
Interesting, because I don't taste anything sweet about it. It tastes...
Just wait until you eat something salty.
I suppose, maybe by that logic. But then again, when I think sweet, I start thinking like really sweet wines.
And bitch beers.
You can't really compare. Oh, fuck you. It tastes good.
I'm just using the proper term.
You do not go to an adult beverage store in the U.S. and look for the sign that says bitch beers. It doesn't exist, asshole.
Before we go to other stuff, what are you drinking, Core?
Right. Okay, so, tangent.
Tell me.
Oh. This week I'm drinking Blue Moon, their summer honey wheat.
Oh. Ooh.
I know Blue Moon. Quite delicious. Honey wheat. Sounds Ooh. Good.
That sounds really good. Tasty. What does it contain? Tell me.
Honey
Tell
and me. Wheat.
It contains a mixture of unicorn blood and blueberry honey.
So now that we're, 15, 20 minutes into the episode, we should introduce ourselves.
Let me say it. This is Bird Life episode 22. I am Fleeks.
I'm Core.
And I'm Core. No, he's Storm. joining us this week, we have...
Alecto Penza. Hello, thank you so much for having me tonight. That's awesome to be here, and you're such a fun bunch to hang around with.
You mean
why would you grace our humble little podcast with your presence?
I was invited, and I'm curious. I've never been to a podcast before, and I just love to hang around with people.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hopefully we don't ruin your opinion of podcasts.
Then you, I would actually say you chose the wrong, the right.
Oh, I was going to be like, no, he's actually totally accurate right there. Like,
oh, that was great.
Freudian, that was uh-huh. a Freudian that's flip.
Well, I think we killed him.
Yes. Fleeks, I have my talent on the abort button. I will eject you out of the studio.
Sorry, Freudian. The Freudian slips. I can't do anything.
So, welcome to Bird Life. We're professionals. Thank you for joining us.
I love Storm's laugh. I love Storm's
laugh. It's a real birdie laugh, too.
Oh, I thank you. I'll take that as a compliment on this show.
And by the way, so, dear listeners, our topic today is character design.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you're introducing this really well because, yeah, character design is a fun topic, and I absolutely agree with you on that.
Give me a second.
Along with character design, we're going to get to know our special guest, hopefully a little bit better.
Like I said, today we want to talk about creating characters. I think that's a huge thing in the furry fandom and in the bird fandom, and I think Alec was pretty much busy with it in the last year, so she has a lot to tell. So, Alec, you actually created a book, a whole story, a graphic novel. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
If I want to tell you a bit about it, that's, well, if I tell you a bit about it, I'm probably not done in the next 3 hours. So maybe you have some questions to me to make it all easier for me and on yourself as well.
Well, why don't we start with you a little bit and kind of get to know you first before we delve into the craziness. How did you find the fandom?
How I found the fandom? Okay.
Oh, and why would you stick around?
I stuck around for the amazing people and... well, we all know the funnel that we go into once we step into the furry fandom. And we see the awesomeness and the familiarity between the people and yourself. And of course, there's nothing that really can get you out of it because it's in your mind and in your soul. And it's just a part of you.
God, yeah,
and,
it is.
Myself. How I found the furry fandom is through art and through my lovely mother who provided me with the internet.
A day that will live in infamy, the day that the internet was turned on.
Well, we know that Alec is just a straight shooter here.
Yes. Now, Alec, I have to ask, so, you know, you've explained how you found the furry fandom and why you're in it. How did you come up with the name you use within the fandom?
Oh, I used to watch, before I joined the furry fandom, I used to watch a lot of anime together with my best friend back then. And it was a time when we already spun stories to write about and to draw comics on. And back then we watched a couple of animes that we really thought are really realistic in style. Something like Akira, which is a really awesome anime. If you have never seen this, you should definitely do so because it's one of the classical animated versions of anime and one masterpiece on its own. And well, I was looking for names, and we came upon one film that I thought was pretty cool, and there was a character called Elector, and I thought, oh, I really want to make RPGs with it because I like it so much.
Nice. I'm going to have to re-up my Crunchyroll subscription.
I didn't really like the story itself because it wasn't really my genre, but and the name was really what stuck to me. So I just chose it when I was 11 years old and never changed it.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah.
What about the second part? What about Fencer? Where does that come from?
That was also from the history of me trying to write RPGs together with friends. I used to be a human character whose speciality or whose skill was to fence with an AP. And he was really good at it. He had a magic sword. He could swing around. And then... freeze people to death.
Okay, follow-up question. Do you actually fence in real life?
No, I don't. I wanted to, but I never gotten around to it. And I kind of lost the interest in it, and the defensor part is probably just like an addendum to my name now.
Oh, okay.
Almost like a surname.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well, how about, because I do want to ask as well, thank you, Fleeks, I do also want to ask, well, how did you create your bird character specifically? So, like, when you joined the fandom, did you join as a bird? And if not, like, how did you kind of become the bird you are now? Oh, God, yeah, they're subtly undertone laughing. This means something.
You probably heard the story where from the times when I used to be a Griffin character. And basically what the Griffin character looked like was pretty much like the human version of Electro. Really pale skin and black tattoos and black head feathers and black feather wings. Feather wings? Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Close enough.
Feather tips. And yeah, that's pretty much about it. And I always loved, I don't know, the planty part. He was able to, it was a male character. He was able to make plants grow. And that was in the second year of me joining the furry fandom. About, I don't know, how long is that one ago? 8 years ago? 7 years? I don't know.
Nice.
Quite a long time ago.
Why specifically a bird then? What caught the attention of birds to you? Like, what brought you there?
I always found birds very mystical creatures, even even though we have birds around around us. And birds of prey are, I don't know, they just look really sleek and very, how do you say, elegant. I like the elegant aspects of a bird of prey. And that's what really inspired me to draw them more. And then I always loved mythology. And also, that's one of the reasons why I love drawing dragons so much as well. And there was a time when I used to design griffins quite a lot. And kind of, I kind of gotten behind that. Not behind it. I kind of pushed that one away for more dragons and other character designs. And what is he typing here? Character Christian, don't forget. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
I just got distracted.
So
yeah, that's pretty much about that. I love mystical creatures and bird of prey. That's why I created my character. Also the planty bit.
So, of course we like can't ignore your like trademark sona, your plant spirit. How did you came up with that?
And specifically, what kind of plant?
Yes, I want to know this too. What kind of plant's kind of important?
It's mostly ivy. Ivy that surrounds me. And ivy is a very sturdy and fast-growing plant. And it can survive. An ivy?
Is it like poison ivy or no? Or
no,
it's ivy?
Just
no, I don't think she's one of the X-Men.
No. I try not to be. No, I'm a good ivy.
Positive ivy. Contributive ivy. Sorry.
Many of my picture ideas actually come from dreams. Which sounds really funny. I wake up sometimes at night and I snap my finger and go, oh shit, I need to draw now. But then I lay back again and I keep the idea in my mind until the next morning. And then maybe I just sit down on the drawing board and then I just scribble ahead. But the plant spirit was one idea that popped up to me when I lived in the forest in Great Britain. And I just drew that, and people seemed to like it. And then I drew more of it, and people just started to connect the plant spirit with me, with my name. And I thought, all right, why don't I take over that character and just make it represent me instead of just have it as a mere character? And that's how I became a leaf.
Yeah. Just woke up one day, and suddenly I was a leaf.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a little bit about your system here for creating this wonderful pieces of art and whatnot. In the middle of the night, do you have like a notebook you use to when you wake up and you have these light bulb moments to quickly write down your ideas so you can draw them in the next day? Or how does that process work for you?
I always used to rely on my memory. But since my memory is kind of overcapacitated through all the world building I've been doing for the past 3 years, I do actually have a small notebook right next to my pillow. And it usually happens to me, and it's kind of bothersome sometimes. that as soon as I lay down and I want to rest and close my eyes, all the ideas pop up in my mind. So I have to wake up again, turn on the light, and write down the idea so I don't forget about it.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome because I get great ideas in the middle of the night, but if I don't write something down or a hint system, I'll forget them in the morning.
All you people with your dream journals.
Yeah.
Actually, I have to admit that most of my great idea I have on the toilet.
The porcelain throne.
For me, it's the shower.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the shower is great, too. But on the shower, I'm too busy to sing and practicing my growls.
Oh, we know you're busy.
Tell us more.
Yes, tell us more. Oh, yes.
Actually, under the shower, I really practicing my growls and shouts and my singing voice and stuff. And it's like, under the shower, you're totally like isolated from the world. And
no, you're not. Kind of like, it's just the job.
At least I like to believe that. Yeah, you're I don't know. I pretend... I don't know. I think most of you are singing underneath the shower. I bet it.
No, I just shower for 5 minutes.
I used to, but not anymore.
So, Alec, what do you, in addition to creating these wonderful worlds and characters that you have taken great pride and skill in doing, what else do you do for fun? And what do you do for work if this isn't your full-time job?
Oh, art, as you know it, is my full-time job.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm very, very lucky and I'm very thankful for everybody who supports my work because I can really do what I wish and provide art for people. And making them happy is all I want and inspire people is also all I want. And it really makes me happy that people enjoy my works. And I would really love to be able to do that in the future and also be able to continue my book series. And I do as side hobbies, I got so many side hobbies aside from, of course, my work where I earn my bread with. I do leather crafting and I also love, I don't know if you can call it a hobby or like a lifestyle. I love bodybuilding a lot.
That was unexpected.
Awesome. That came out of left field, and that is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I can. I know about that.
An artist that can lift up the entire table with one hand while she draws with the other. That sounds great.
I must say it does help a lot, staying alert and creative.
Yeah, it definitely gets the blood flowing, that's for sure.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. And because you mentioned your book, and I think it's a good time to ask you, what kind of book is this, and what did you do the last, I think, 3-4 years?
Yeah, it was basically 3 years now. In general, the drawing process was only 1 year, because everything surrounding the project took so long. All the correspondence, the working on the Indiegogo Kickstarter campaign, and then more correspondence and getting to write the story and the storyboarding before I was actually able to draw all that stuff.
Oh.
And Tuke Griffin, of course, my co-author, he was able to provide me also with ideas, and he also provided me with the whole dialogue for the book, which was also really helpful. And really amazing. And we both worked together on the story of Mira, Chronicles of Iria. It was always the name that I had for it. And before I was able to work on it, I don't know if you've seen pictures. I constantly put out concept sketches and character designs regarding Mira. And I don't know, it took about 5 years for me to decide to actually dare myself to do a Kickstarter.
Oh, wow.
And everything came together that one day when people really funded my project, which made me, in fact, so happy that I fainted when I was dragged out by my friends that day. Yeah, I literally fainted.
Oh wow!
when I saw all the pledges coming in.
It's a tremendous moment of pride when people, you know, see your dream and this project you want to get done, and they believe in you so much they're willing to put their own hard-earned money to see it come to fruition. I totally understand
Alec, I actually really know what you're talking about. When I saw last Euroference, when I saw that the people bit like crazy on my art show stuff, I was like almost like I was shivering and I was almost like crushing, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, painting, yeah. I really know what you mean. Oh God, it's so an amazing feeling.
It makes me think of like, you know, men on their wedding days. Like, have you seen like compilation videos of men like fainting on like at the altar? It's because you lock your knees so tight that blood can't actually flow like through your legs, so it shunts kind of your whole system. I'm wondering if like it's kind of what like happened here, like you just like you were like really tense, like oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening, and then all of a sudden you're just like, and I'm passing out.
It was pretty much like that. I was tense for 2 weeks when I started to work on the Kickstarter and on the page for it.
Wow.
And was constantly shouting out updates that the Kickstarter will start soon. And it was in summer, it was hot outside, and I've been working for 2 weeks straight. And it was back the time when I wasn't really used to working like 10 hours a day. With Mira, I pretty much got used to work 13 hours a day. As a comic artist, you really have to get adjusted to that schedule. And then friends came in and said, okay, you launched your campaign and we have to drag you out to drink a beer. And so they dragged me out. It was hot outside and my phone kept buzzing all the time.
Notifications?
Yeah, exactly. It kept buzzing and I felt the vibration all the time. And then all of a sudden I just plop.
So hang on, just really quickly, these two seem to be very familiar with your book. If I'm completely honest with you, like, I may as well have lived under a rock when it comes to this. I don't know anything like about it, but they're very enthusiastic. So like, to people like me, maybe like take a moment to kind of expand like a little bit, like tell us what the like maybe the premise of the book is, when it drops, and like, you know, if we can expect it to drop, like, after it drops, is it going to be, like, a New York Times bestseller within a week? I think it probably will. Just from what I've heard so far, I think it will.
You heard the title already. It's Mira Chronicles of Euria. And it's an ongoing series of a girl and her dragon ride, Varuk. And they live in a very desolate desert planet, where it's all about just survival. And just to quote my boyfriend, he said, Mira is like an apocalyptic Western. What was it again? Apocalyptic Western story or something like that.
Okay.
Okay. And would you be ready to answer a few questions I prepared for you, Alec?
Oh yes, of course. If you want to know more about the book, there's always so much to talk about. I released it last week or 2 weeks ago, and it's already printed and it's already in shipping process.
See, I told you, I live under a rock. I'm horrible.
No.
Congratulations.
How's the user response been to your book from what you've heard or seen so far?
It has been tremendous. For the past 2 weeks, my boyfriend and I, we spent every day figuring out lists of from my store orders and from all the orders that came in through Indiegogo back then when people pledged on the comic. And we were able, if I may say it's just a number, we were able to ship out over 500 books within 1 week.
Oh, whoa.
That is really impressive.
It was a lot of work. And I'm very happy that people are enjoying the books. And seeing You're seeing so many messages coming in on Twitter and other platforms like Facebook of people posting photos of them holding the book. It really makes me happy because first I know that they feel really glad about receiving the book, and secondly, I know that they actually arrive.
Guys, we're basically talking to the new J.K. Rowling right now. Just so you know.
Yeah, pretty soon you're gonna see Alex work at Barnes and Noble and Amazon.com and every other bookstore outlet you can think of.
I really think it's up to the people on whether they like the story or not. The most important part is still the story.
Yeah. It's a pretty great story. I already read that book, and
thank you. And
therefore, I really have a question to you because, like I said, our topic today is like character design, and I sort of a question for you, and that is like how do you even came up with the characters for your book? I mean, do you have any like special creative process for that, or how do you generally bring them to life?
Okay, first, thank you for saying that I bring my characters to life. That's a very nice compliment for an artist. What I always do is, first off, I'm a person who loves to, without trying to sound creepy at all, I love to observe people. I love to go out in nature or out in the city. Sit somewhere and just study people around me, how they behave, how facial expressions work with a certain behavior, mannerisms, etc.
So there's a bird-watching pun here, except where the bird is watching the people.
Maybe I'm still more bird than actually plant spirit, who knows?
Who knows?
Oh, that's neat.
And in character design, I think in a way we all love to create our own people the way we like it, or the way we like to reflect our own lives, or try to create lives that we try to make better or worse sometimes. And as an artist, you're trying to tell a story with your character, and you would like to fit the character in the mold of the story that you created for themselves. Which is why the basic storyline is the most important aspect for before you actually sit down on a drawing board and create a character, because you want to make sure it actually fits in, fits a certain aspects. But with Mira herself, as I said earlier, she came in a dream. I dreamt of a desolate landscape, and there was suddenly that girl wandering around, and she had a red hair and it was all flowing and fiery, and I thought, oh, that's actually something I like, and I would love to draw it.
Okay,
so I did.
I
would like to have your dreams.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, is there like, because I don't dream, like I do dream, but I never remember my dreams. Is there something that you like take on the side to maybe influence these dreams that maybe I can get a hold of, or is this just natural to you?
It's just natural to me. It has always been there for me.
You were probably like a soothsayer or something in like a previous life.
Yeah. But now, Alec, just so I understand what you said a few moments ago, you write the story first and then design the characters to fit the story? Am I understanding
that
right?
Not always. Okay. Not always. It sometimes intermingles. Sometimes I have to create the character and then it grows alongside with the story. And then other times I actually have to come up with a story first before I can picture the character. With Mira, she was there before I had any idea. And with the years, I was able to add more aspects to her. And you can actually see in my gallery how much the character developed over the years. She started off looking like a mere fox with some flowy hair, and then she turned into that really sturdy or anorexic, almost anorexic looking, really rough girl with a felt hair and smoking cigarettes and having a corset and a really rough type of guy.
One of our listeners asks a question for you, and I think it's appropriate to ask at the moment, if you don't mind. from Sable Dracon, and the question is are there griffins in Yura or kitsunes?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure if he... thank you for the question first. I'm not sure if he read the book yet, but I can mention that we do have a griffin character there. Ooh, in Mira.
now naturally I gotta give your book the seal of approval because you know it's yes, together.
It's like the Oprah Book Club except for griffins. It mentions a griffin. It gets the stamp.
Pretty much.
Are there ravens in your book? This is very important to me. I take this personally.
Oh.
you might be actually I don't know if you will be glad about this or not. I got a milder version of ravens, which is crows.
Acceptable. Okay, I'm fine with it.
It's acceptable. By the beginning of next month, I'm actually going to work on the spin-off comic, which comes after the first volume of Mira, which is called Hound of Dreams. And it's about a little boy going through dream state, like adventure. And it's going to be really challenging because I'm actually, I created a character who appears alongside with thousands of crows.
Okay, nope, you got my approval.
That's really good.
Yeah. Sounds like he's kind of living your dream world at this point, if he's like trying to explore these dreams.
Oh, yes. It's more or less like exploring my own dreams at this point.
Oh.
So, since you are a person that creates characters, builds worlds, writes stories, here's a question I think is appropriate to ask. How do you decide if and when it's appropriate for one of your characters to die, you know, to leave your story one way or another?
As Tu and I already talked about quite a lot about whether or not a character should die, it's always something as a writer, it's something that comes with the flow, because you as a writer, I believe you're not really the master of your own story, because you just walk the path of your own story and you go with the flow. If something happens to your character, it has to happen. And whether or not you're happy about it, that's up to you. And I'm a person who loves to write, who loves to be honest with the reader and with the characters as well. If I think I'm going to be harsh with the characters, even though I love them much, I'm just going to be like that.
It sounds to me like you're not too much of a George R. R. Martin type. You're not just like, well, they're done now. Throw them out the window.
Oh, you're going to see.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well,
I suddenly feel bad for that griffin.
You mentioned Tu again. And as you know, it's a fact that Tu the griffin was like your co-writer, right?
Yes, he is.
And to the topic of the show today, how much did he influence the character development?
He is an amazing writer. He's been a performer for so many years, and he knows how to bring characters to life with words, which is why I trusted him with the dialogue, and which is why he did such a great job on it, especially since I chose the entire story to be rather laconic. Characters don't speak very much, and much of the storyline itself is very much based on what is happening around them. So it's a more visualized story. And yeah. About the character design, we decided upon that I'm going to be the boss of the character design. So he doesn't really have much of a say, as I may mention.
Does he influence a little bit? Like say, oh, I think that would look better if you put some blue in this, or maybe if that guy wore a hat, you know, just hypothetical.
Not really. If he comes up with a great idea, for example, if he would say like the scales would look blue better or would look better in blue, I'm up for that. I would give it a try, and then we would show it around and then decide upon it and just think, yeah, maybe we could do that. But most of the time, I'm like, nope, I'm staying with my design. Sorry, I think he suffers from it sometimes.
So it sounds poor to me like he's more of a bit of like a muse, as it were. Like he kind of helps make sure the dialogue flows well and like the interactions are organic and not they don't feel forced. Like he just kind of steps into like, you know, reshift like a perspective here and there. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If something is edgy or if something is not really flowing the way we believe would go actually really well, he would say, okay, we need to change something here and let's just talk about it. And then we sit together and we discuss and then we come up with a really good solution to make the story flow better.
Nice.
It's a very great teamwork and I'm really glad to have him in the team.
All right, so here's a question from Soul Ember to Alec, and the question is, what has been your favorite design to come up with and work on, and what has been your least favorite, and why?
Thank you, Soul Ember, for the great question. That's a really tough question, actually. I would say I'm a pluralist, because in a way, I like all the characters that I design because I really have to get adjusted to them to be able to draw them often and in certain angles and in different perspectives all the time. We think about a book, for example, Mirror, where I have, I don't know, just think about Mirror. She's really complicated to draw. She's actually the only character where I get stuck at the most, and she takes me longest of all the characters. And contrary to everyone's beliefs that Varuk, the dragon with all the plates, is the most complicated character, she actually isn't. She's the easiest.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that a statement towards dragons, or maybe they're just really simple creatures?
Oh, God. So
I see an opportunity. I have to take it. I'm sorry. That's just that's who I am when it comes to Insults on Dragons.
I should probably finish the question or answering the question. Is the most favorite design that I came up with is actually, I think if I can say so, Lutz, who's a character in... alongside with Boozer, also a character of Mira. And because I can just draw so many creative expressions with them, and the older a character is, the more wrinkles I can draw, the more expression I can add. That's always the biggest fun for me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Lutz is a great character. You haven't read the book, Aquarian Storm, but I can assure you, Lutz will win your hearts.
Well, I'm definitely going to be ordering it after this episode.
I'm going to pass through the link later.
Yes.
Yeah, do that.
I have to ask them, following up from what you just said a moment ago, and this is a question that our user Chiros actually asked too, and that is, when you're creating characters and drawing them, do you prefer more complex designs then, or are simpler designs easier to manipulate depending on the angle?
Okay, there's a weird relationship between me and complexity.
Okay.
For those who read the book, probably saw a couple of sceneries and a couple of people, and I got a couple of questions even regarding, okay, how the hell did you do that? And I love complex designs a lot. But I try to keep it simple in a way to keep it natural. For example, if you have a bird with really big feathers and a big crown of feathers, you would like to express it in a way. But you know it's going to be a lot of work and it's going to be really complex to look at. But you're trying to keep it familiar, even though it's fantasy. And that's what I'm trying to achieve. I know I work on a fantasy novel, but I would love to have the familiar aspects to it, so people can just find themselves in and feel homely there. But as per se, saying that I like complex character designs, yeah, I really do.
Yeah, I can verify that. It's very, oh God, it's a, in the book you can like find a real love for detail. Oh my God.
Well, that's okay. Just it. The more you actually get to like develop on your character, the more connected we get to become.
Yeah, that was a really good point, actually, because I'm very much about making the characters grow alongside the story. And for example, if a character gets slashed in the face with a knife and he has a scar, the scar stays forever because it's going to be there for forever. So adding details, it does take a lot more time to draw the character, but it's going to be more persistent.
Mm. Like I said, straight up the next J.K. Rowling right here. I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah, I concur, especially if you're willing to actually keep adding little details as the story progresses, versus just, you know, pulling some Hollywood crap where, you know, one scene, the person's got, you know, an explosion in their face and their skin's melted, and the next scene they look good as new. I can appreciate that you following more of a sense of almost realism. Your character.
Yeah. I mean, physical okay. Or like otherwise, like, you know, like the emotional developments as well.
I really love doing that as well. And that is where my observation comes to part because we all grow with our emotions. We all grow with conversations and experiences. And I would really love to have my characters express that as well. And that is also where Two Griffin comes in very well. He's really amazing in expressing emotions through just a couple of words. And since, as I already mentioned, the story is very laconic, the characters don't really speak much, but they speak down to the point. He's doing such an amazing job into bringing the characters to life and bringing the story forward.
I have to ask you a very important question from To the Ranting Griffin.
Oh no.
To Griffin. Oh yeah, yeah. And that's I try to read as proper as possible. Like, dear Leaf, if I am a good brute and do not misbehave, will you relinquish my soul after just 999 years instead of thousands? Smiley face.
You know what? I feel like a question like that is out of line, and he should actually be like punished with another 1,000 years.
I concur. I think he should be indentured indefinitely for that question.
How dare he step out of line? We'll just answer that for you, Alector. How's that?
I think you killed me. But if you need any explanation to that question, I can give you one.
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure. Please, fill us in.
The day when I decided that Two Griffin is going to be my co-author, I asked him if he wants to be the co-author of Mirror. And then we went on from that. I think he was really mesmerized by the idea and also a little bit frightened. Because he knew he's going to step into a realm where he probably will never have or will never have any free time again. Which is why we came up with the idea that he gave me his soul. So I own his soul for the entire Chronicles of Eria to be my co-author.
Well, I gotta be honest, the compensation plan must be worth it because dealing with you is an absolute charm. So.
No.
Oh, Storm.
Oh, Storm.
He's a little heartwarmer.
I think whenever we get him here on the show, we have to ask him himself.
Oh, yeah. Verify that.
Yes, I concur. Yes,
if you listen to Hit Us.
Hit Us?
What in the world are you saying?
Hit Us up. I mean, German.
No, two. I want you to smack me as hard as you can in the face.
Yeah, it does.
Oh my goodness.
Oh dear, I'm going to hide because he's soon coming through the monitor and then he's going to strangle me.
Yes, you see, now yes, I'm actually afraid like I'm going to meet him at a con at some point and like he'll have listened to this episode. So it'll be like, hi, two, I'm Core. Slap! Hi! How's it going, Core? Like,
I'm sorry. You're part of the Bert Life podcast. All right, you and me, we're coming to the back room right now. We need to have a conversation.
Holy cow, we're an hour in already, and we're still going strong. There's a lot more to this episode, so stay tuned. But in the meantime, we're gonna have a really quick intermission and a word from Alector herself. Check it out.
Since we are going to focus on character design today, I realize there are many questions regarding my recently published book, Mirror Chronicles of Iria, for which I had to put in a lot of thought about the characters too. Many have been inspired by the lore of Iria and the characters that several voiceovers were made of it. Many of my readers and friends who know about the story put in a lot of effort and dedication into giving one character called Boozer a voice. It's probably fitting in here today. I'm really thankful for that, and I would love to show you one of my favorites done by Lanofran, who read out loud the first 5 pages of Mirror. And it was awesome that, backing his narration, he added a music piece by Fox Amour, who composed it for the story.
This, our oldest legend, has been carried in the hearts and minds of our sages since the birth of our tribe. Passed from the eldest to the youngest, generation to generation. Each is given the story in turn and carries it with them, until they too pass it on to the next. And now the world is in a new age, and it is your time to sit and listen, so that one day you may sit as I sit and speak as I speak. Long ago, when all was verdant and alive, there lived a race of people who were as old and as wise as the lands in which they lived. They were the children of the Edolcian, the dragons of old, and they lived in peace when Iria was vast and green. But in the shadow of the Edolcians, they became jealous, wanting their knowledge and power for themselves. And in secret, they stole away the life force of the dragons of old, in hopes that they would covet their greatness. Desperate for their precious treasure, the Edolcians searched the land. The children became frightened, and sent vast armies to drive their creators from their lands and villages, shattering 1,000 years of harmony. The Edolcians cursed their children, casting them from their sight, and set Iria ablaze in search of what had been stolen from them, leaving Iria ashen and desolate. Alas, their heart was never found, and to this day the Edolcians sleep, waiting for what has been taken from them to be returned amidst the dust and silence. Who will carry on seeking for what we almost forgot? Who will begin the journey that will restore the life of Iria? It was her.
Storm, do you have any more questions?
We actually have one more. Ooh. For Alec that was geared towards her. This question comes from the user Kenza, and the question is this. How do you feel about the designs Hi-Rez has given to bird-based gods in Smite?
Oh, wait. Oh, that's one of the things. Hang on. Let me look it up. I actually don't know much about it.
I think we all can answer these questions. I don't know that game or whatever it is. But my first opinion is like, they do not have wings.
That's true. I'm just seeing a couple of pictures and they are drawn really beautifully, but they have no wings.
Yeah, they have no wings.
I think I'm on the same page as Storm here. I have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm really sorry. I'm unable to answer this question because it's very specific. And I used to be a gamer, but because of my full-time job as an artist, I don't really have much time playing anymore. And I've become like a second-hand backseat gamer now. I watch other people play games for me.
I don't have much time.
Oh, well, if we're going to talk about Let's Plays, we can actually, like, I'm just going to insert that in there, too. Like, you know, myself and Fleeks, we're getting into the whole Let's Play scene. We have a YouTube channel with the Bird Life now. So, yeah.
Tell us about the name of your Let's Play channel.
Wow, okay. So the interview just flipped.
Yeah.
Welcome to Electrolife.
Welcome to Electrolife. Today we have our special guests, Cole Raven, Spudelspecht, and Storm Griffin.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
No, but all seriousness.
I'm also going to be tiptoeing my way into Let's Playing as well, but gotta wait for my new PC to come in first.
Yes, we're all hyping that quite frequently here. It really is just, we kind of have, like, a bird-centered focus, obviously, because it's Bird Life, but, we'll play just about anything. It is a Let's Play channel, and, like, we're gonna be open up to, like, invite, you know, the community to play with us as well, the games like, Terraria and, you know, Starbound, but also we'll be doing, like, multiplayer sessions with, like, Overwatch, Borderlands, stuff like that. And then we just have, like, the single Let's Plays that Fleeks and I and probably Storm will be doing as well, where we're just, you know, sitting, talking, trying to be Markiplier kind of thing.
Markiplier. Markiplier. I'm the Markiplier.
Yes, we're going to MST3K these games, mother clucker.
Yeah, I personally will mainly focus on all the games and really crappy games, I guess, because I really enjoy to show them off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a different platform as well. I mean, there are people who really enjoy that kind of stuff, and many of the biggies, they don't really play such games, so...
Yeah,
that's true. Don't you do it, fill in the gap.
There's always a tiny bird focus. I think I will, like, let's play Crowtell as first, and that's really a game of some kind. Stay tuned.
To answer Kenza's question regarding these awesome birds in Smite, I think they look badass. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, they don't have wings, but...
Yeah, they don't have wings.
The amount of design put into the beak, the facial expression, the body armor, this is just the definition of badass.
They do look really cool, yeah.
I very much approve of the design.
And at least they have, like, talon hands and not, like, human hands or something. I have to the favor of the artists. Yeah, that's pretty good. But they have shoes.
Bird shoes.
Well,
bird shoes.
I have nothing. I have nothing against shoes because my characters, they mostly wear shoes as well. I love shoes.
Okay, Alec loves shoes.
Yeah.
Alec, what is your opinion on birds wearing hats?
Birds wearing hats. That's cool, man. That should be a thing. Seriously.
Birds gotta wear.
All
hats.
Birds should wear hats.
They should totally wear hats.
I got into an argument with a good friend of mine yesterday about this, and he said that would look so stupid. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Bird hats.
Come on, it's an entire new fashion accessory. Think about
okay.
it.
Okay.
If you want to talk about fashion accessories, you can stay tuned after this episode. You know, the extra special we have talks about other bird fashions.
We should make a bird fashion episode.
We should.
We should.
All right, so now that we've actually wrapped up with the questions, I've got a game for you guys.
Oh yeah! Yay! My body is, like always, my body is ready.
Okay, buckle up. You may not find this as much fun as I make it out to be.
Uh-oh.
I think it is pretty much fun.
I think it is a mind torture.
And that's it. Let's start with you, Storm.
Oh, go to hell, Cor.
That's a good decision.
All right. The game that we're going to play is called Bug, Bird, or Bluff. I'm going to name three things. One is a bug, one is a bird, one is something that I made up completely. It is your job to figure out which one is which. Storm, it's up to you to demonstrate how this game is done. So, here we go.
Hey, you won the last game.
He did. He complains, but he wins occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
I'm not the winner in games.
It's like the Special Olympics for griffins. Anyways.
Okay, here we go. Divine Lime. Andean Emerald. Green Rose. Bug, Bird, or Bluff?
Repeat them again, please.
Divine Lime. Andean Emerald. Green Rose.
Andean Emerald is a bug.
Yeah, it must be a bug.
Andean Emerald is a bird.
Oh, dear.
So that leaves okay. So Divine Lime and bird. Green Rose.
Green Rose is a bluff.
Green Rose is a bug.
Oh,
okay.
And Divine Lime works. Is exactly what you would expect it to be, a bluff.
Yeah, well, no, he showed you why he hates the game.
Yep.
Okay, Fleeks, are you
it's
ready?
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game. I love it.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, hit me. This time, hit me, Core. My body.
Why do you keep saying
red.
Hit you? Like, I'm not gonna punch
hit
you.
Hit me up. Okay. I only forgot that little detail. I'm
okay.
I'm not looking into details.
Here we go. Sex Gutata, Brawny Rose, Black Inca.
What was the first one?
Sex Gutata.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I think the Sex Gutata is a bluff. Or it's something you made up or something.
It's a bug.
Oh, what the heck? Okay.
It's like it's Hakuna Matata, except not at all.
Okay, then give me the other two again.
Brawny Rose, Black Inca. One is a bird, one is a bluff.
Again. The what was with the rose?
Brawny Rose. Black
is
Inca.
Is this brawny themed now? What the heck?
Just to appreciate this moment really quick, Fleek's being like a biologist before, he's really confused. This is a proud moment for me. I've legitimately confused him.
Black Inca, like black and the Incas, you know, the South American Incas.
Mm-hmm. And Brawny Rose.
Brawny Rose. Okay, I have to guess here. I think Black Inca is a fake and Brawny Rose is a bird.
Wrong! Oh no!
Oh fucking god! I never heard about any of them. You really raised a difficulty on this.
It's been a minute
and
since we've done
this.
That's
a biologist. Just imagine that. Wow.
The Brawny Rose was a bluff and the Black Inca is a bird. Okay, I'll make it a little easier here because I do have a system in place. The Andean Emerald that I gave Storm was a hummingbird. The Green Rose was a beetle. The Black Inca was also a hummingbird. The Sex Gutata was also a beetle. So you kind of see the what I'm playing
yes,
with here.
Yes, because we totally know that. In the back of my head. When I'm sitting on the porcelain...
Hey, it's a hint. I'm trying to make this just a little easier for our guest. You know,
it's
just
totally
maybe put it out there.
Something like that. Like explaining a game is just going inside one ear and leaves right at the other side of my
Thank
other
you.
Ear.
So yeah, hit her up.
Okay, here we go. Akari Lech, Ojolon Tiger, Bronzy Hermit, Akari Lech, Ocholone Tiger, Bronzy Hermit.
The Ocholone Tiger almost sounds like a bug.
That is correct.
That's awesome.
My God.
You're already doing better than than the other two hosts.
That's probably just beginner's luck.
That leaves Akari Lech and Bronzy Hermit. One is a bird, one is a bluff.
We know for a fact that we have a couple of really strange birds that behave in certain ways like hermits as well. I don't know. It's really hard to choose. Okay.
Akari Lech, Bronzy Hermit. One is a bird, one is a bluff.
I think I'm going to go for the bluff on the hermit and the lech on the bird.
Oh, no, sorry. The Bronzy Hermit is also a hummingbird, and the Akari Lech was a bluff.
You know that Akari is a flea.
Oh, right.
Akari is a flea. And that would totally got me, because Akari is a genus of fleas. Oh, my God. Wow. That gets me
difficult. I literally thought I was making up a word. That's the word that I thought
Akari,
I was making
Akari
up.
Is fleas.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Tor, you suck. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm sorry. This week was actually a lot more challenging than usual. I'll try to scale it back next time.
Alec won. You are the winner.
I just got 1 point.
Hey, that's all it takes.
Just get 1 point. That's so funny.
I mean,
and the biologist and the griffin lost.
No, what do you want? Great,
surprising about what I just said. So the actually, losing is not surprising.
Since we are on games now, I have a question for you guys, and that's again: would you rather be a super dumb raven, or would you rather be a super intelligent cacapoo?
I feel discriminated against.
Why?
I would rather be a super intelligent cacapoo, because I don't care if you look ugly as sin. Having intelligence always is a good thing.
I don't think kakapos looks like dumb. I think they look like dumb, like as in kind of stupid looking, but like I don't think they look ugly.
Yeah, but they are dumb normally.
I think what really looks ugly, and I'm sorry for discriminating those people who like to be those kind of birds, are turkeys.
Oh. Wobble, 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 wobble.
Yeah, you're
right. I mean, those birds are really, they have beautiful colors. I mean, if they're not a turkey hen, if they're male turkeys, I mean, they have beautiful colors, all the reds and the blues and the hues all around those colors. But they're so wrinkly. They look like they have ball sacks around their necks.
They totally do.
Yeah, they do.
They are aggressive. We had one, a big one, and he chased us kids. He was really aggressive. He wanted to eat us.
Turkeys can be very mean, mother cluckers. Very, very mean.
Oh, man, no way.
And but I don't know about you guys, but I don't even like the way turkeys taste. So on Thanksgiving and
stuff. Wait, guys, you have to make a decision. That's how this game works.
So, just wrangle this back in.
Would you rather be a super dumb raven or a super intelligent cacapoo?
Well,
you have to choose.
I'm all about intelligence, which is why I chose raven.
Yeah.
So if ravens aren't smart in this, I'm going to have to be the kakapo.
I'm going to be the kakapo as well, because I love to be intelligent, even though I like to overthink stuff sometimes, and I like to worry about others too much.
Yes.
But knowing things is just a great pleasure.
Well, I think I take the super dumb raven, because I do not love to be almost extinct. So,
you got us!
Hey, I'm fine with it.
Hey, being intelligent means you could figure out how to expand the population.
Oh, that's true as well.
We're part of a conservation effort.
Well, the problem is, the more intelligent you are, you know how a nuisance children can be. So that's another thing.
No, we are on the plot of Idiocracy.
God. And that's why you hire babysitters.
Yeah, but I think a super dumb raven finds. Kakapos have a hard time to find like mates and stuff, and a super dumb raven like I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's observe human culture here for a second. We can take a step back and we can like observe bar culture and human culture and how ridiculously frequently like dumb people hook up.
Yeah, exactly.
People who should not be hooking up are doing it. And they're making little...
You would be in favor of having a reproduction like... I know you.
What?
I wouldn't really say that they are all dumb. They just don't really have any other hobbies or you know that every human needs to be some sort of a task in their life. And if they don't really find any other task in their life there, then the biggest wish they have one day is probably to get children. Or, well, if they don't really see it as a task, they're probably just mate.
That was a very German statement. I love it.
Very German. Very German indeed.
Okay.
But it explains the entire population of Utah.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Mormons!
That and people that like to milk the welfare system, because the more babies you have, the more money you get.
Yep, there you go.
In Germany as well. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sad truth.
That's a very questionable statement.
Let's try to like re-steer the conversation in a positive direction so we can end on a positive note.
Okay, of course. Have another game fitting to our topic.
Okay.
And since we are having a topic, character design today, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to design some bird characters? I mean, I have a list of jobs, and I would like to come up with the perfect bird species and general appearance of it. And I would like to cast it with you. For the job, yeah. And okay. I actually have like 7 jobs, but I think we reduce it to about 3 jobs. And I will... let's start with an attorney bird. What species would an attorney be?
An attorney.
A peacock.
A peacock? Do you think so?
Yes. You think so? Peacock. Why? Yeah. Why?
Let's discuss this. Because of the way they conduct themselves and just the way they look, I think would capture the attention of the courtroom and allow you to really
that
sway.
Is so amazing. Wow. Kudos to you. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's not
wow,
bad.
Wow. That's just amazing. Sorry. It's, also, I'm going to hire you.
1,000 years of servitude to Storm Griffin.
Oh, God.
In the end, I seem to flock all the griffins around me. Oh, I got all the griffins. They work for me now.
Maybe she's actually secretly a dragon and she likes to hoard things, except her hoard consists of griffins.
I don't know what's worse, the fact I'm being indentured servitude or the fact I'm not sure I'm upset by it.
I keep trying to think of like what bird would make a good attorney bird, and I keep coming back into like my mind, the picture that pops up in my mind is Family Guy, the stork who plays the attorney in the Family Guy series.
Oh,
they actually took it. I don't know the episode, I guess, but
he's a recurring character. I've just got to think of like
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't watch Family Guy. So I don't really know much about the character, but Stork pretty much directs all the attention to himself as well, I guess. But I like your idea more.
Stork is good too.
A stork is good too. The title of my autobiography.
What about ravens?
Sorry?
What about ravens? They're small talkers. And an attorney needs to be like small talker.
Yeah, but they're also easily distracted by shiny things, and that does not bode well for college.
Oh, great.
For 8 years
of
formal education. No, okay, I'm actually thinking like sandpipers, because like when I think of a sandpiper, I think of this creature that's like obsessively like, you know, picking through the sand, trying to like, you know, get like the bits and pieces of like, you know, meat off the shells and stuff. So like I'm picturing like that attitude, but towards like book study, because that's what lawyers and attorneys have to do, is like hours and hours of book study.
Yeah. My aunt is an attorney, and she's been studying for, 7 years, and it's getting harder and harder. But oh my god, that woman is so eloquent. It's amazing.
Oh my.
If you ever want to hear a German speaking proper German, then you should totally listen to her. But be aware of it, because she can chew your ear off in a conversation where she is the main host, and she doesn't really let you speak at all for 6 hours on end.
So you're saying you could be a special guest on her show and get all of 5 minutes of talking time in?
Cool. That makes this podcast super easy. So, Alector, how would you
actually? Because you mentioned like the peacock as an attorney. My next character would be the prosecutor. I mean, I really would like imagine a peacock more as like prosecutor, but I'm maybe bias. I can't talk English more anymore. Because I'm maybe a bit biased because I played a lot of Ace Attorney, but somehow that image comes to my mind first when I think of a prosecutor. Can you pronounce it for me, please, Cor?
Prosecutor.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not prostitutor. Yeah. That's something completely different.
Yes. Very much so.
That's my next character, like
and I have an answer to that too. Mind.
Oh no. Again, a role filled very well by peacocks.
Yeah. The whole court is filled with peacocks.
Prosecutor, judge, jury, the defendant peacock. Is also
no. The judge should be a griffin, because we're very fair.
That's very true. I agree. If there was a whole courtyard full of peacocks, I think they need a lot of space.
All of that plumage.
That would be a very violent courtroom.
Oh yes, you stepped on my tail. How could you?
Oh man.
Proceeding this case, we would then have another case involving the stepped on tail.
Just
endless series of courts.
Just imagine them all squawking in each other's faces, like squawk, squawk.
And then the griffin would periodically stand up and squawk.
Oh yeah, since we are talking very much about birds right now, which I really enjoy, I was coming up with something earlier today, which made me think about semantics. Like, for example, saying something like, oh my god, doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. You just say, oh my god, if something happens, or if you find something funny. Do you bird people actually say something like, oh my gizzards, instead of that?
Generally, no, I want to say.
Oh, my breastbone.
Oh, my wing. My poor
Oh,
wing.
Bird Jesus. Oh, bird Jesus. Bird Jesus is actually a thing.
Bird Jesus is a thing. Do unto others as they do unto you.
Always trust your gizzards. Important fact.
Well, it could be a thing after the show. Oh my gizzards. Oh my gizzards.
Oh my gizzards.
You're going to start something here. Away.
Actually, I have one last bird job. I would like to create a character around it, and that's a dictator.
Sorry, may I interrupt? Keep that idea in your mind. But if you say bird shop, it sounds like you go to a plastic surgeon, you're going to get a nose job or something, like a beak. I'm going to get a bird shop today. "Oh, you look so different today. What happened? I got a bird chop."
Yeah, can you see my new beautiful plumage?
Sorry about that. Okay.
Okay. Now we're going on to the decay. So, oh man, what species would be a good bird dictator?
I keep picturing magpie. Like, yeah, they're just vain enough that they would, and they're also intelligent enough that they'd be scary as a leader.
I think it's the sparrow. The sparrow is, for me, the dictator in the big flock, because they are really evil birds.
Oh, okay.
Sparrow, makes sense.
A magpie's good, sparrow's good. But I think when I picture a dictator, like someone hardcore evil, there's only one bird I can think of, and that's Raven.
Oh, you look too much. How is it series called? There was a quack. give it to me. This Dutch series with Ding Quack. Alec, do you know what I mean? With the craw that goes like Hitler in the kid series.
Oh, I really have no idea.
Alfred Quack.
You're going to have to show me this.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I already. Alfred J. Quack.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, Alfred J. Quack. This is a Dutch series with the main character is a duck. And in one episode, a raven that is...
The raven was basically Hitler, a representation of Hitler?
Yeah, and he takes over the country Alfred J. Quack lives in. He tries, at least. And, oh my god.
I don't really know if it was back then. I don't know how old the show is, which is why I cannot say if it was either a warning or actually propaganda.
It was a warning.
It was a warning, yeah, because Netherlands actually got taken over in Second World War. So...
Yeah, and actually the Hitler character is called Craw.
Okay.
And I can send you a best of on YouTube later.
Maybe it's just my own personification of it, but like I picture crows and ravens being more of like executives of businesses and things. Like, you know, they're the business owners, the business types.
By that own admission, okay?
Okay.
If you can be a good business owner, you also can do evil. Very much so.
Welcome to America. Our president is Trump.
Exactly. So, I can totally see you being badass.
I would not ever, ever put myself in the position Trump has put himself. No way. But that's just a political statement on me.
You mean like being laughed at by the whole world?
Hey, the rest of the world can thank us because we've provided them 4 years of nonstop quality entertainment.
I know, Europe is really thankful for that because we are actually doing something together right now. We are laughing together.
I'm glad we can provide that.
At last. Okay.
To come up, the first thing I was thinking about when I thought about a dictator bird was, for some reason, a peregrine. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it somehow has to be a bird of prey, a strong bird, you know, and that people will like look up to, you know, for some reason. Like, yeah, you know.
I can see it, actually.
Thinking about a bird of prey... I must think about the harpy eagle, if you know that type
know
of
it.
Bird. Yeah, in German, it's called Dickfußadler.
What?
Dickfußadler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the peregrine is a Wanderfalke.
Yeah. Dickfußadler is mostly based on the feet, because the feet are really fleshy and really big, sturdy. And that's probably because it's called like fat-feeted eagle.
Yeah, we real Germans are naming our animals pretty much like what they're doing. Like for example,
very straightforward process. It sounds like
For example, the sloth is a lazy animal.
Yeah, faultier.
Yeah,
it's almost like drawing a caricature. if you draw a caricature, you look at the person's face and you draw their features biggest. Like, for example, if the person has a big nose, you draw them extraordinarily big. And that's probably how Germans chose the naming of species as well as housings and so on. So if something, for example, smells, which is like the skunk, mm-hmm. You'd simply call it Stinktier, a smelling yeah. animal.
Yeah.
Because it smells.
German has a very interesting way of describing things compared to like English.
It's okay. Simple yeah. and logical.
Yes, very, very much so. If you think of a prostitute bird, okay, I'm sorry, I have to ask.
I'm still thinking what peacock.
What bird do you think would be the best, you know, hooker on the street that you'd see?
I'm the ace, but sorry, tweets, but.
Secretary birds?
Secretary, yeah. I don't know, but it was the first thing that came to my mind. Secretary birds.
They're very leggy. But what I'm picturing is like, you know, the street corner dancing kind of thing where they're showing off the booty and all that. And that's yeah. exactly, yeah. exactly to a T what a peacock does.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, dear.
So
that's
peacocks, so lawyers by day, strippers by night. But
where's the legalities in that?
To me, it would be a blue jay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Oh,
but then it would be more the male prostitutes.
All right, what are our challenges, Fleeks?
It's really challenging because you've given me quite a variety of birds to think about, and the peacock is really like the check of all trades here, I think. He's a lawyer. He's next door's hooker. What else can the peacock do? Maybe be, I don't know, fashion model.
Oh, God.
That, true. I'm actually thinking doves. Again, just swinging back to doves.
Oh, you're just biased because you like doves. All right. Ready? You guys ready for our challenges?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. First challenge comes from Reg Day, and the challenge is this. Reverse the name of each of your personas and try to say it out loud.
Rock.
I actually needed to write it down.
Oh. I have to write this down. My, I would I try have to my... write mine down. Oh, God.
Okay, I would try mine first.
Oh, no. Never rock.
What?
That would be what? Mine backwards. Core Raven, never rock.
Mine would be... Sechps letups gilf.
Mine would be nof mrots.
Brots.
I love that never rock is so cool. Never rock.
Oh, Raven, I never rock.
It's a sad life, really.
What about you, Alec? Elector?
Almost sounds, something from, I don't know, coming from the Balkans. It's like, Rensef Rotschale. My name is Rensef Rotschale.
Rotschale.
Sounds like a guy from somewhere, I don't know, from the Balkans or so.
It actually sounds like a somewhat legitimate name, though.
It does, yeah.
Okay. All right. Next question comes from Fleeky. And the question is, or challenge, I should say, is this. Quickly, come up with a new nest design off the top of your head and describe what it would look like.
A new nest design.
Nest design. Like, what would be your ideal nest? If you could quickly design one, you know, given 30 seconds to describe it, how would it look?
Biodome. Everything on the inside, just a dome on the outside. I'm happy inside. I never need to come out.
Wow. Whoa. Can I be as quick with it? Can I get your brain somehow?
I like yours better. Yours is more creative. We can totally trade. Sorry.
My ideal nest would be like built into the side of a mountain with a nice overhanging like cliff so I could take off real easy, and it would have lots and lots and lots of very soft materials, like a little place for a campfire and a place to watch the evening sunsets and the stars at night.
Okay, the first aspect was actually what I thought about. Damn it! all right.
Okay, my a new nasty sign, so that's pretty hard to ask, but I would probably just buy it from... I would just build it from bricks and cement and
wow.
Make it exactly like a human home with, like, radiators and...
Good Lord.
The difference is, instead of couches, I would put in perches.
I don't know why. I have no idea why, but my brain went when you were like bricks and, you know, cementing paste, and like I was like, and Storm would walk up to it and be like, and I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll that's blow exactly. your house down.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
As soon as I thought about bricks and cement, I actually thought about 1950s East Side Germany.
Oh no.
Oh, God. You need to keep the ostrich outside.
Okay, so now we're going to do some rapid fire questions real quick here. Just
okay.
Try to get through a few, and some of these are quite funny. So I have to ask, since we have a guest on the show. Question number one comes from Chai, and the question is this. Do y'all like peanut butter?
Oh, like hell peanut butter. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
that's not a difficult question.
I must. Yeah.
Peanut butter. And for me, specifically creamy, and even more, I personally, my favorite brand in the U.S. is Peter Pan, but I love creamy peanut butter. I could get a tub of that thing and just sit there with a spoon and put it in my beak all day long.
Yeah, that's a dream.
And it's so damn good. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Peanut butter and chocolate ice cream is awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's true. But actually, I like, I just need the English word for it. I like
just
the
ask
whole
me if you do, if you need the English word.
I like peanut butter, actually, with plum jam.
Ooh.
I love it. It's so great. Oh, God. Some friend showed it to me, and since then I'm hooked. Oh,
actually, the first time I went to the United States, I knew about peanut butter and jam, and I thought, oh, the combination, it cannot be good, it sounds nasty. But then a friend of mine in California said, oh, let's have a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And I said, I don't know. Okay. And then I tried it, and I ate five more because it was so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All right, Alec, this next question actually would apply to you. Given how busy you are with all of this amazing writing and books and comics you're doing, what's your process for, you know, taking on a new commission, and how often do you open to actually take on individual commissions?
That's a really good question. I'm receiving quite many requests for commissions. And I'm very happy about that, somebody considers me as an artist of trust to commission me. I love doing commissions, but my projects currently keep me so busy that I'm focusing almost 24/7 on the next story and storyboarding, painting for, or getting prepared for the next story. But I will, if it comes to that, I will announce it on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Fur Affinity and DeviantArt. You can find me there at Electrofencer. It's always the same name. And when it comes to that, I just announce it when I open for commissions.
I will definitely keep an eye out. Because aww. I definitely would Thank love you. To see you have a crack at my Griffin, because you're really gifted. So.
Oh, thank you.
Next question comes from Regde, and the question is, where do all of you stand with having special powers for your character? And what special powers would you have if you could have any?
I have a special power.
Oh, yeah?
I can make plants grow. Woohoo. All I need is just some water and some love.
And possibly sunlight.
Sunlight is really good too, but actually I'm a penumbra plant, so I don't really need the full sunlight. I just need half shade.
Ah.
Then I can just spread. So I made the earth a little bit greener, if possible.
Fleeks, what about you?
Please do.
Actually, my Sona has absolutely no superpowers, except you would like describe super hard pecking as superpower.
So are you saying, like, when you want to, you can, you know, sum up like super bird style strength and peck through an entire tree in 10 seconds or something when you really want?
Actually, it's like a normal woodpecker, like about 20 pecks per second with a force of about compared you running against the wall with 30 kilometers per hour.
All right, so, please. But if you could have anything, seriously, just think about it, even if something that you wouldn't normally do, if you could have any power, what would it be?
I guess stopping time, and then, like, I think that would make me rich.
It would actually be kind of in line with woodpeckers, you know, because they already work so fast. Maybe they do have, like, the ability to slow time around them. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, stopping time is better than being invisible, but has the same perks, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about getting hit by cars.
And I can, like, pull down, like pens of other people and stuff while the time is frozen.
No, you can actually you can take all the commissions in the world and then just draw. The only problem is you probably leave your time frame much older than your next time frame. And everybody else is older than you. So you never know what the turnout is going to be. Time is a really fickle thing to play around with.
I guess. Like you go to Fleeks' table at a con, you commission him, and then 10 seconds later, okay, here you go. What the fuck?
But he has like a full beard and like saggy eyes.
Oh, he's totally drunk. Oh, 10 seconds later. Oh, here you go. I hope you like it. Okay,
tiny side info. I just got muffins from the Atimos.
Muffins! Oh, that's so cute. Muffins. Hello, Atimos.
He can't hear you because I have headphones on my ears. But hi, Atimos, they say.
By the way, may I interrupt really quickly? If you don't know the Atimos, he's an absolutely amazing artist. He's also hopefully going to do a comic one day. I've been prodding him for it because his story writing is just amazing. And his character design is absolutely gorgeous as well. He knows he has such a vast variety of art styles that you can just browse through his online galleries. So if you're looking for an artist who knows almost all kind of art styles, you have to look up for the Atimos.
Core, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I know you're just waiting for one particular answer, Storm. I know you are. Okay, but I have like three quote unquote superpowers that I never like elected to have superpowers. They were just kind of jokes that became about and like just became part of the character. Generally without my influence, but some of them with. So the first one is that Core Raven has an avian transmutation cannon, and he can turn all non-birds into birds. But if he uses that cannon on a bird, it turns them into a feral budgie. We don't know why. Second one is directly ripped from Pokemon. I have the ability to throw out a substitute at any point at the cost of half of my HP, and it gives me enough time to run away. I like substitutes.
And what's the last
substitutes
one?
Are good.
And the last one is the one that Storm's just sitting here waiting for. And I'd like to preface it by saying that I don't like Cheetos. They're not my favorite snack food.
Oh, wow. Hey, man, seriously, bro fist, I don't like Cheetos either. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
But I have the ability to teleport to anywhere a Cheeto currently is.
Yes! Yes!
That's how that works.
You Raven are... quantum mechanics.
Yeah, seriously. Yes. You are so egalitarian. Even though you don't like stuff, you're just up to everybody's opinion. That's really great.
Well, Storm has three powers as well. And the first power is that Storm can
control the
influence the weather. I don't use the word control because control implies that you're God. Influence, well, you can make things happen if it will allow. So, yes, he can severely influence the weather. Number two, he can change sizes. He can become a lot bigger when the situation calls for it, but he can't get smaller than 6 feet. 9 feet is his normal height when he's Anthro. So can't go below six. Yes, yeah, there's a limit. Last but not least, he actually is a healer. He can emit blue magic from his talons to go ahead and heal wounds on anyone he wants to, but primarily other avians. But if he chooses to do so, he gets tired very quickly.
Which makes sense, transfer of energy.
Yeah, so next time when I do a kettlebell swing and I hit my knee, I just come to you and you heal me?
That's right, you know, 1-800-STORM and I'm there.
Awesome. I'm going to call you.
All right. You guys ready for our grand final, you know, last question?
Yeah, yes, let's do it. Last question.
Okay, let's see here. This one comes from Feedy, and it is, what parts of your Sona did you spend the most attention and time making? Why was it important, and what would you change if you could go back and change it?
Okay, that's easy to me for answer, because I did not really focus on anything, because Cianiati, a very talented artist that's actually a good friend of mine, created my Sona more or less. I just told her, like, draw me as Woodpecker, and what you see is the result. And actually, I wouldn't change anything, I guess.
So for me, it's actually very similar. Like, out of high school, I had a friend, and I was just like, hey, so draw me a character, and I want it to be Raven, and I want it to be purple. And this is what happened. This is, like, as Elector said earlier, like, I didn't create my character, like, in any way, what, shape, or form. Like, my character is just kind of what was imposed on me from the very beginning. And that's what it's evolved into.
I'd say I saw my character drawn by Cianiati, and I was like, yeah, that's me.
Oh, yeah,
that was just like, wow, fun.
And
it
just fit and felt wonderful.
Fleet, yeah, you may
remember. I remember you were a different character once, and when you actually turned into Ubert, remember what I told you? You've always been a bird. Yeah, he's always been a bird, and it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Alec always thought I'm a bird. Alec always thought that for some reason.
And it's really strange. Look at you now.
I'm a bird.
Total bird.
Well, see, for me, I've always been a Griff, and I've had, through dreams and such, a vision of what Storm was supposed to look like. And so I started working with Glenn Skunk, and then I worked with Nexus. If you go through my gallery, you can see the evolution of Storm. And things have evolved as he's gotten older, and the beak ridges were added, and the long head feathers at the top, which can help depict emotion, were added, as well as the shoulder tattoos. And I guess for me, the thing I would change, if I could change, would be to actually add some blue highlights to Storm's black feathers. Because the more I think about it, the more I realize within his black feathers, there's actually little specks of blue, depending on how the light hits it. So that would be the one thing I would change. And the most important thing to me for my character would be the facial expression, the actual face, the beak area, the eyes, how that sets up with the head feathers on top, because that together can portray so much emotion, and you can look into his eyes, and that just for me makes the entire character what it really is.
In general, I tend to notice, like, Storm Griffin is a character. He has, like, this very intense look about him. Like, in most of your commissions, he has this very, like, intense hawk-eyed look about him. But knowing you in person, you're just this big, adorable goofball.
Aww.
So how did that flip around? Like, how does that shape? Is that, like, a reflection of what you want to be? Or is that, like, a reflection of who you were, but you've kind of become, like, different?
Well, in most of my commissions, Storm tends to be trying to expand the Griffin population. But for the commissions that I'm not doing that, and
I was talking about general ones, yeah.
I'm just being honest. For the commissions that I'm not, and I actually are more relaxed, me just being me, looking out to the horizon, spawning with friends, etc., I want to be able to show more emotion and depict more of the range of emotion that Storm really has, because he's a very complex character, and he essentially, as you touched on, Cor, has on the outside a very hardened shell, and he comes across looking badass, borderline angry, mean, don't fuck with me. But if you get to know him and he comes to appreciate and like you, he'll let that guard down, and deep down inside, he's just a big mushy goofball.
He'll let that guard down and you can rub his little griffin belly.
That's a wonderful character design as well, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, I'm looking forward to slowly with time showing more of those emotions.
It's amazing.
Yeah, our listeners, in this show today, you heard about the Book of Alec, the Chronicles of Mur, and I read it, like I said, and I really totally recommend the book. It's a very wonderful introduction of Yuria and the main characters and the whole Chronicles of Mur.
It's Mirror Chronicles of Yuria. I'm sorry.
It's Mirror Chronicles of Yuria, and I'm sorry for that loophole.
As established earlier, we're totally professional here.
Yeah. And
you guys are awesome.
What I wanted to say is, like, that book feels really good. It's so well made. Alec really put a lot of work into the quality, into the print. And I really rarely see, like, comic books in the fandom that are that well printed and that well made. And Alec, a question to you: where can interested peeps get that book?
Oh, thank you for the question. You can acquire the book in my online shop, which is as well the official website regarding the story, Chronicles of Yuria, on www.yuriachronicles.com.
Link will be in the description of the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it will. Yes. Is that about it? Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Oh yeah, always.
Okay, we'll have you on next week.
Yeah, I'd love to.
In all seriousness, we would love to have you back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay,
that was amazing. I wish we could have you every week.
I think it's only right that we allow our guest to sign off the show if she so desires.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't desire anything. I desire to stay with you guys because you're a lot of fun.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us on facebook.com/birdlifepodcast, Twitter @birdlifepodcast, and on Telegram t.me/birdlife. Remember, the bird is spelt with a U. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, or via the RSS feed, or wherever you catch your podcasts. If you enjoy the show, you can help support us by kissing the bird. If you go to the website, bird.life, and look on the left side, you will see a cute little magpie, or as Fleeks likes to call them, flute birds, sitting in a kissing booth. Click it, and it'll take you to our Patreon page. And if you're willing, you can donate just as little as $1 a month. If you donate just $1 a month, it will give you access to extra short episodes. These episodes are different in that we actually teach you cool things about birds, such as, what is the world's only carnivorous parrot? Or, how do hummingbirds mate? All that for only $1 a month. That's only $12 a year. That's less than the cost of a pizza. Anyways, thank you again, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
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 Oh dear.
Sex Gutata.
Okay.
It's like Hakuna Matata, except not at all.
Hey, a clean cloaca is a happy cloaca.
Oh. Oh, that's how you pronounce it in English. Okay, I always thought it was like cloaco or so, cloaca. All right. I keep learning English, so it's great.
Hang out with us more often. You'll learn even more.
I learned about cloacas. I'm going to be really happy.
You learn so much words you never need to use otherwise.
We're sort of negatively affect your dream journal if you hang out with us too much.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Don't do that.